Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big show coming up today because it's been a great day for Penn State in so many ways. Today, the early signing period, there were two guys that they were waiting on, and they both signed with Penn State. 21 recruits signing today in the early signing period. James Franklin's going to have a press conference here within the half hour, and we can get any of that to you at some point. We will, but it was a great day for them. I was over there from 7 till about maybe 10:30 or so. So about 3.5 hours. And when it comes to Micah Parsons, yes, I can now talk about names. I'm allowed to now. Nobody knew. I mean, nobody knew. It wasn't one of those you're going to sit there. I mean, everybody kind of was waiting. What was he going to say? Well, found out what he was going to say because he went out there and said it. And Penn State was the pick. So, again, a big day for Penn State. Slade and Dotson and, let's see. I mean, you just go through the long list of guys, Shorter. I mean, just on and on and on. Great, great day. They checked about every box that you could think of. Now, the question of coming in here, taking care of the academics, taking care of the community service, taking care of the practices, taking care of the football part of it. But one thing they have shown over time here at Penn State, James Franklin is now finishing up his fourth season. You are talking about now a sample size that shows you several things. It shows the commitment to academics. It shows the commitment this staff has to community service. It shows the commitment they have to the individual player. But it also has shown in the sample size to all the recruits that if you come to Penn State, you have a coaching staff that will develop you. They'll develop you off the field. They'll develop you on the field. They have shown that now through what they've been able to do. That is a critical component to this, right? That especially what they've done the last 2 years, winning shows this. But to their credit as a staff, they have shown that they can not only recruit the talent, but they can develop the talent. That's impressive. So, looking forward to that very much. So that's what—that's the big part of this. I mean, there's a lot of levels to this. Now they have to come in and develop at their own pace. I mean, let's always remember that everybody develops at their own pace. I've told this story once. I've told it obviously 50 times, but it's always worth. Always to me worth telling this story again on signing day. Penn State from 2005 to 2008 had three terrific wide receivers. Derek Williams, Deion Butler, Jordan Norwood. All three of them had great college careers. All three of them had NFL careers. I think Derek was 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Deion was 5 years in the NFL, and Norwood just retired this past summer. Derek Williams was the National Player of the Year. He was the five-star of all five-stars, and he came into Penn State, and to his credit, he played like a five-star should play, catching the ball, running the ball, returns, being just a dynamic playmaker for Penn State over and over and over. He was the five-star of all five-stars. Then you had Deion Butler, walk-on. First time I saw Deion Butler was playing corner. I looked over at Dr. Wayne Sebastian and he says, three can run. I said, he can really run. I said, where'd they get this guy? He said he walked on from Woodbridge, New Jersey. I'm like, wow. And I watched him practice at corner all during the season. And then they moved him to wide receiver in the spring of 2005. And he just took off. And he had a great career at Penn State. Ended up in the NFL for, what, 4 or 5 years? And then there's Jordan Norwood, a gray shirt. Terrific NFL career. In fact, you know, I mean, his dad, Brian, was on the staff. Staff didn't want to recruit him. They wanted to go in other directions. Joe Paterno was the one that insisted. He said, look, I've watched him play basketball. I've watched his decision-making as a point guard. He said, this guy has the athleticism and the decision-making I want in the program. He insisted they recruit Jordan Norwood. So the staff did. Because there was one person, of course, in charge. So you have a five-star, a walk-on, and a gray shirt, all playing the same position, all at the same time. All five had great college careers. All three had great college careers. All three had NFL careers. And not just a cup of coffee. All of them played multiple years in the league. The reason I tell that story is that you can come from all sorts of backgrounds and all sorts of avenues to get to a place and can still get to where you need to go, because when the talent is comparable, you can then show everybody exactly what you can and cannot do. And a perfect example is going to be Winfield's Brandon Smith. Winfield's Brandon Smith, Lewisburg High School, walked on to Penn State, was a fullback here. Everyone knew he could play linebacker. But he started out here as a fullback. And doggone it, look where Brandon Smith is now. He'll start in the Fiesta Bowl at linebacker. He is second in the team in tackles against the run, only behind Jason Kabinda. And he has instincts that you cannot teach. And Brandon Smith is a critical component. Again, everybody developing at their own rate. The one area that when you look at players that sign on this day, oh, he can do this, this. Okay, now let them develop at their own pace. But on it, but you take a piece of paper, you put that piece of paper down, and you look at the positional balance, you look at the athleticism, you look at the skill sets. That piece of paper with those 21 names is a piece of paper that the vast majority of programs in the country would be aching to have. Now, that tells you the kind of day they had. Great day. We'll come back with more in a moment on the show today. Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, Patriot News on recruiting, and Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports on recruiting. Tomorrow, Dave Pasch is going to join us from ESPN. He'll be calling the Fiesta Bowl on TV. Also tomorrow, we'll have Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, James Franklin is addressing the media in the Beaver Stadium media room about today's recruiting class.
Three Under Armour All-Americans in Muster for Shorter and Slade. Two Army All-Americans in Nana and Parsons. A Gatorade Player of the Year in Slade. You know, this is a stat that I think is really, you know, something I'm proud of. You know, we have 44 four- or five-star recruits in the last four classes. The previous four classes, there was a total of 16. So I think, you know, we're really making some good progress there. Really proud, you know, that we've signed the number one player in the state of Pennsylvania for three straight years. You know, I want to thank Miles Sanders for that. Miles Sanders is a guy that jumped on board with us, you know, at a time that we were really trying to kind of get this thing rolling. And he got it going. And then, you know, the following year it was Lamont Wade. And now this year it's Micah Parsons, you know, from different parts of the state. That hasn't happened here since 2004. So excited about that. You know, signed two of the top 10 recruits in the country for the first time since 2000. Two of the top 15 recruits, only had five top 15 recruits, from 2000 to 2017. So in 17 years, we only signed five top 15 recruits, and, you know, we have two in this class. You know, so really excited about that. So there's just been a lot of positive things going on. Six of the 15 highest rated recruits, you know, since most of these recruiting services have been doing this. Six of the 15 highest rated recruits in Penn State history, coming since we've been here, in Parsons, Shorter, Sanders, Slade, Mennett, Wade, you know, so that's exciting. You know, finished third in the country in one service, fourth in the country in another service. And I also understand that we're not done. You know, there's still going to be some more movement today and in the second signing period as well. And then second in the Big Ten. So we're making progress. We're still not where we want to be, but we are making progress in those types of areas. And, you know, I'm really proud of all the hard work that went in, you know, from the coaches and the support staff off the field, and really our current players. I think our current players are a big part of that, how they are when they host these guys, how they are when the parents come on campus and we do panels, and those guys, we leave the room and the parents can ask our players any question they want. And then probably one other thing, you know, our four-year average, you know, over the last 4 years has been a class that's ranked 13th in the country. And the four-year average before we got here was 34. So, again, you know, I see us making progress. At the end of the day, these rankings don't matter a whole lot once they show up on campus. You know, I love that first practice or that first tire pull when the five-star or the four-star gets beat and the vet stands over them and tells them that no one cares about your five-star or your four-star or whatever it is. We see guys go to the NFL, you know, that are two-star guys and all that. So I get it. But I do think, you know, there is value in it in terms of guys that we've evaluated as really good players. A lot of other people have as well, whether that's other colleges, as you know, from an offers perspective, or whether that's recruiting services or whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is getting guys that are great fits here, great fits culturally, academically, athletically, socially, you know, the whole package. And one of the things that's interesting is you guys don't necessarily get to know this the way we do, but this is one of the highest classes. I think it's the highest class that we've signed here in terms of GPA and SAT as well. So when you're able to combine, you know, guys that are highly rated football players as well as guys that are highly rated students, that's really what it's all about for us. So I want to thank our staff. You know, I want to thank our staff for all the hard work that they put in developing these relationships. So, and that's coaches as well as our recruiting staff, as well as our administrative staff. I want to thank our players. And then I also want to just thank the families and high school prospects out there that believed in us and want to, you know, come and help us continue to build. So open up to questions.
Open up to questions here in the room. Raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you.
Hey, James. Were there any particular positions or aspects, qualities of the team that you wanted to address in this class, and how successful do you feel you were in doing that?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, I think we did a pretty good job of that. You know, as you guys know, you know, from past experiences, you know, in my coaching profession, you know, I'm always going to put an emphasis up front on the O-line and D-line. I think we've made progress there. We still have a major need at defensive end. Still have a major need at defensive end. Still have a need at offensive tackle. So there's still a need there. But overall, I think we've helped ourselves in those areas up front on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, I think if you look at this class, you know, we were able to sign a kicker. We were able to sign wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs. You know, we try to avoid years where we don't sign a guy at a position. And right now we don't have a defensive end committed to us. We're going to play Micah Parsons at Mike linebacker this spring, see how that goes. We know he can move back to defensive end, but we're going to have him here for spring ball and see if he can do that. So right now we don't have a defensive end committed in the class. But we try to avoid that. We try to make sure that every year we sign a guy at a position, because what happens is if you don't do that, then quickly you're going to have a hole. You're going to have a hole at a position. But yeah, I think overall we did a pretty good job there.
Hey, Coach, the group of pass targets you brought in, the two tight ends, the three receivers you signed today. Can you assess that group overall and how they may impact the offense moving forward? That level of talent.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, kind of the tight ends at first, Kuntz, I think, is very similar in a lot of ways to Kosicki. High school wide receiver, is probably a little bit further along as a tight end than what Mike was. But both big bodied guys that can really run, Kuntz at 6'7", 215 pounds or so, came to camp and ran, in the 4.6s for us, which is really impressive. I think we're going to have time, to grow him. Him graduating early is really going to help. And, if he gets on the field, great, but he doesn't have to get on the field as a freshman like Mike did. So I think there'll be value in that as well. Let him kind of marinate in the weight room a little bit and take some time. But he is a long, athletic kid who can run, And then obviously with Freiermuth, you kind of got the complete opposite. You're talking about a 6'5", 215-pound road grader, tough guy with really soft hands. Guy came to camp. We offered in camp as a junior, did a great job for us. But what was probably more impressive is how much he improved in his testing numbers from his junior year to his senior year. Really kind of the same weight as he was as a junior or senior, but it was different weight. His body had changed, and we're really excited about him. Think he's got a very bright future. So I think that's a really good 1-2 punch there. And then at wide receiver, I think Justin Shorter is as good of, a high school wide receiver that I've ever seen. On film and in person. You're talking about another guy who's 6'4", 220 pounds, very mature. For as highly recruited as he was, there was no drama and no issues whatsoever. He committed very early on, never wavered at all. His parents were awesome. High school coach was awesome. I mean, kind of all of them.
So that's James Franklin. We'll get more as we go along here. News next. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's go back to the Beaver Stadium media room and more of James Franklin and the signing day press conference.
They're more savvy than ever. The amount of information that's out there. And, I think this process kind of scared some kids when they saw schools that they were really interested in, coaches leaving that they didn't expect to leave. And I'm talking head coaches. We were very open, and I think it really helped us. We were very open and honest about that we're going to have assistant coaches leave. I was very upfront, that we were going to have assistant coaches leave to go be coordinators, and we have coordinators leave to go be head coaches and understand that. So when it happened, we called kids and we called their families and we called their high school coaches and talked about it, but it didn't have a huge effect because we were so upfront on the front end about it. And then I think, with the head coaches, I think it scared some kids nationally. So, when they see me and they see my staff and they see the administration be supportive of us and, the fact that, I'm from here, the fact that, I got a great job at a great place and we still got a lot of work to do in a lot of different areas, You know, I think they understand that. You know, I think they understand that, you know, that consistency at the head coaching position is so important. I'd make the argument that consistency in assistant coaches is very important as well, but that's never going to be as stable as the head coach. So I thank, you know, President Barron, and I thank Sandy Barber, and I thank the board for supporting, because I do think that is a huge part in all of this. You know, the first thing you hear all the time is that recruits should make the decision based on the school and not the coach. That is not happening. That is not happening. I think it's probably 50-50 between the coach and the school, and I would say the coaches and the school. And I'd even probably even slant it maybe even more so, you know, with the coaches. And, you know, I know the recruiting handbook says that's not how you should do it, but no different than in your guys' business or any other business. At the end of the day, it comes down to people. You know, you make decisions based on relationships and people. And Beaver Stadium is unbelievable. You know, I think maybe one of the better venues in all of sports. You know, our academic rankings are awesome and really important. But at the end of the day, it's about the people in the stadium. It's about the people in the Lash football building. It's about the professors on campus that do a great job in helping us recruit when they have lunch with these student athletes and their families and things like that. It's about Sandy Barber taking time to talk to our recruits. It's about President Barron taking time to talk to our recruits. You know, it's all that. It's when our guys are on the sideline in pregame and they see all the lettermen, all the former players back, having a great time, taking such pride in their university and their football program. It's all that. So, you know, I appreciate Micah saying that. You know, we got a lot of work to do, and he's going to be a big part of it. And I want to be here every step of the way, you know, helping him and, you know, the rest of the players on our team achieve their dreams.
James.
So that's James Franklin with us from the Beaver Stadium media room, and now let's talk about Bucknell basketball with head coach Nathan Davis. Coach, welcome. Sorry to make you wait. We apologize. Thank you.
That's quite all right. It's important stuff there.
Well, it's the next step forward, so we appreciate it very much. All right, so here we are at this stage. You now have a sample size in your basketball team. Tell me a little bit about what you think of the sample size that you have so far based on the competition you've faced.
I think it's good. I think it's the people we've played have been able to expose, like I said before, all the issues we have. And the big thing that stands out is that when we're flying around and playing well, we're very good. And when we relax and lose some concentration, we're in trouble. And unfortunately, with some of the teams we're playing, they're really good too. And so when you have those 4 or 5 minute lapses, unfortunately, it's going to be a 10, 12, 13-0 run. And those are hard to come back from against good people.
Yeah, I mean, no question. Now, are you seeing leadership on the floor right now, and how do you feel about it?
There's no doubt about it. I thought the biggest thing out of our game last night down in Richmond was the way our guys responded, and that's a direct reflection of our three seniors and their leadership with Zach Thomas and Anna Fallon and Stephen Brown. We had done some silly things there late in the first half to let Richmond build a lead, and those guys just buckled down and dragged everyone along with them with concentration, effort, and tenacity.
And when you see something like that and you get on the bus to get out of there, what runs through your mind when you see it play out like that?
First off, you're like, this bus ride's going to be a lot better now.
We've
won, and it's going the other
yeah.
way. I might be able to get a little sleep on the bus. But, I mean, you feel good because you know the type of people you have, and you know that they have the mentality that you need to be successful. It's not the end-all, be-all. It doesn't mean we're there yet, but it means that the characteristics and intangibles are there that we need to be successful.
Do you feel good about how you're playing inside out right now?
I do. I do for the most part. I think there's times we actually get it in, mostly on penetration, and force some shots that we need to throw it out more, and we'll get some better shots, and that'll open things up. But I like the fact that we do attack the paint pretty well.
All right. What about floor balance? Are you balancing the floor, or are there moments where you get too clogged up?
No, I think it's pretty balanced. I think, again, our turnovers in the lane are from trying to do too much when we get in there. It's trying to force a shot or make a spectacular play as opposed to just jump stopping, being under control, and finding guys, because there's guys open, and the more we start finding them, the more we'll open up opportunities to score in the paint.
You've got a team with some pretty good athletes on it. Have you watched some of them slow down a bit and become more effective because they have?
I think so. I think especially our freshmen. And then there's some other guys like Ben Robertson who hasn't had a chance to play at Thomas, gotten a taste of it more and more here in the last few weeks. That it's tough, because the only way that you kind of – it does slow down is to get a chance to play. And then when you're playing really good people, it's even faster.
Yeah.
And your coach tends to not give you as much leeway as he would like at times. To kind of play through those things. We have other guys that are pretty good. And so you got to give them a lot of credit for sticking with it and being mentally tough and competing every day, because I think that across the board you see, especially guys that are newer to it, they've improved in the last couple of months.
Well, that's the next part. Sometimes the ball, the player goes faster than the ball. That's not good. You know, I both know that.
Right.
That's not good when the player goes faster than the ball. Are you a better basketball team today than you were 3 weeks ago?
There's no doubt about it. I think that, and I've said it over and over, I think for the most part, other than really twice at Northeastern and at St. Joseph's, we played pretty well. I think we are clearly better now than we were a couple weeks ago, and that's what we need. We need to continue to get better moving forward. I like where we are, but where we are now is not good enough. We got a game with LaSalle on Friday night, then we'll get in the league playing. We got to get a lot better heading into those league games, because you know how tough they are. Everyone knows each other so well. They're going to grind it out. You got to be able to concentrate and think and execute and fly around all at the same time to win those games.
Nathan, what would you like to clean up between now and the opener?
Honestly, the biggest thing for us is just the consistency on the defensive end. There are times when we lock in and are really good, and when we're bad, there's no in between. It's either really good or atrocious almost the time. There's kind of no in between with us, and we just need to be more consistent. Last night was a situation where we were doing pretty well, and in the last 5 minutes, it fell apart, and we had to let them score 12 or 15 times. That just can't happen. And we need to get better back. The second half, we didn't do that at all. We held them to 29% shooting and 31 points. That's more the concentration we need to have moving forward.
What does it take, Nathan, to make sure this sounds simple, but be in a stance. Put yourself at the right angle. What does it take for them to do that? And why are there lapses?
I think the lapses because they're human. And they're 18 to 20 years
old. Doggone humans.
I mean, just be honest, no one's perfect. No one on the sideline, I'm not perfect. I know in practice, I'm not perfect. And across the board, no one's perfect, but that's what they're striving for. I think the first thing is just your concentration, being committed to it, and consistency and concentration. The second thing is, and this is the harder part in a lot of ways, is the game's hard and guys get tired. And guys being honest with themselves about when they're getting tired, and asking for a break before they get tired. And again, we have a lot of depth, so there's no reason guys can't fly around for 4 or 5 minutes and leave it on the line knowing they get a chance to go back in. So there's that. And then there's a trust factor. I think every team goes through it, trusting what the other guys on the floor are going to do. We've had those two guys out now who play a lot, and I think there's a lot of trust that developed in groups with them on the floor. And we've got new guys in new roles, and they're getting comfortable with each other, and that's just part of the process you have to go through, guys playing together, guys making plays. And relying on each other to be in the right place all the time.
I'm going to guess, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this or not, that your advanced analytics would show that your starting unit is your best unit, because you get analytics and all sorts of combinations on the floor. You mentioned that you have depth. How much do you have to resist at times the temptation to keep them out there as many minutes as possible because you have to manage minutes?
I think that's a big thing, and I thought, especially even the other day down at VCU, we played well, but looking at it, I thought Zach Thomas, Nana Powell, and Stephen Brown had played too much earlier in the game. Some of that was foul issues that we couldn't avoid, but I have to do a better job earlier in the game of giving guys some breaks, and even though you kind of want to get them in and get them out real quick and get them back in, you understand it's a long season, it's a long game. You want to be fresh throughout the way, and you gotta give guys a chance to play and let those guys rest some.
Okay. Off the bench, who gives you your best chance defensively off your bench? who gives your best chance offensively off your bench?
That's a good question. I think that they're all capable of doing it at both ends, and part of it, again, with guys outside of Nate Jones has played a bunch before. He'd been hurt last year and kind of got him back, and he's been playing better and better as the year went on. Really, the last week's been probably our best guy off the bench. But there's other guys just in different roles, and they're kind of getting a feel, so it's been a little inconsistent, up and down. I think the one thing that Matt O'Reilly, Ben Robertson, John Meeks do is they do give you tremendous effort, so you don't have to worry about that. But, again, just learning how to play in those times when it's flying around, and you got to be able to concentrate on who you're guarding, what's going on, and that's one of the steps you got to take as a younger guy.
All right, quick thumbnail of LaSalle and what you think of Dr. John's team.
I think they're good, unfortunately. I wish they weren't.
Doggone, I hate when that happens right before the holidays.
I know for the fans in the stands, and I know it's going to be on TV locally, I think it'll be exciting for them. But from our standpoint, we got a lot of work to do. They're very talented. They took Villanova. They played their hearts out against Villanova and gave Villanova everything they could handle a week ago. B.J. Johnson's a tremendous player. Scores in multiple two ways. He transferred from Syracuse a year ago. We had a hard time with him a year ago, but they got a lot of other guys. They're athletic. They're long. They're skilled. They make shots, and they do a good job defensively. So we got to work it out for us.
How do you want to handle the holiday break? Because you've got conference play starting right away.
Well, I think the big thing is, first off, the break is for family, and our guys are here a lot. And so it's nice for them to be able to get away and get home, and for everyone to kind of get away from each other for a little while is good. So we'll play Friday night, and then they'll get Saturday, Sunday, Monday off, and we'll get back in on Tuesday evening for about an hour and try to run the turkey and stuff out of them, get their wind going again. And then we'll take the next 2 days to get ready for American, which is our first league game.
Well, if they're listening to the show, which for ratings should be, but if they're listening to the show, you just gave them a big warning.
That's right. They know. They've been around long enough. They know that the practice after Christmas is always the toughest one, because every coach is doing it, trying to get them up and down the floor and get their wind and get them back in shape, and we know what they've been eating. They got to get a little bit of that weight off.
By the way, what will be on the Davis table this weekend? Because they won't have to run it off.
No, I don't have to run it all. So I'm going to have a lot of turkey. We'll have some mashed potatoes, some ham, green beans, all that good stuff.
Any room for a Jones around that table? That's what I want to know.
Of course.
Hey, Nathan, do you and York, first of all, best of luck coming up against LaSalle, because you're right, it'll be that's a good, tough one to have right before conference play. And from all of us to your family, happy holidays. Thank you so much for all you do and for being on the show all the time.
I appreciate it. Happy holidays to you all as well.
All right, Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. Andrew Callahan, 24/7 Sports, next half hour. Final half hour, Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News, Ryan Snyder on tomorrow's show. As we try to break down recruiting across the board for Penn State, which had a day that, look, there were two question marks heading into the day that not everybody was sure about. I think, you know, I can tell you that there was one they felt more confident about than the other going in. And they ended up getting both players. Now, keep in mind, the guys that were rock solid with them the entire time, right? Shorter, no drama. From day one, zero. Ricky Slade, day one, no drama. All right. Guys like that across the board, I mean, all the way through the entire process. As soon as they committed, yep, that was it. But they have now they've been able to accomplish their goals here with this class. Well, it's going to be a question of seeing how it all plays out. We'll find out for sure on December 20th, 2021, exactly how December 20th, 2017 played out. That's when we'll know for sure exactly how today really did go. But for now, Penn State fans have to be thrilled. This is a top five recruiting class across the board. Now, will there be changes in those rankings? Oh, that's a distinct possibility because there's still a late signing period. And it's not as if Penn State doesn't have the possibility of adding to this class, because they do have the possibility of adding to this class. And that's, you know, that's what you're looking at. Because this was a huge step today. It's also phase one, and of course they're already working on 19 and 20. This staff, led by James Franklin, they all get involved in the recruiting process. That's why when you heard his press conference earlier, he was talking about being upfront with recruits about, hey, look, we're going to lose some coaches here. You know, and he was upfront with them. He said, you know, look, the door's open. When you're having the success that Penn State's having, you're going to lose coaches. Just like Nick Saban is sitting down there at Alabama, and he lost Kirby Smart to Georgia. He's losing Jeremy Pruitt to Tennessee. He had already lost Jim McElwain to Colorado State years ago as his offensive coordinator. He lost Lane Kiffin, addition by subtraction. He lost Lane Kiffin to Florida Atlantic, who I believe is still going for 2 points as we speak right now in a 50-3 game. And he was upfront with them about, look, this could happen. But that's one of the reasons why, when it comes time to recruit players here, he has the entire staff do the recruiting. It is not just, okay, Matt, you're the position coach. Okay, you're the wide receiver coach. And we're going after Shorter. Great, great high school player. All right. So you go in, you recruit, you're the position coach, you get him on, you know, he makes his official visit, you're the guy that's around him, I'm the head coach, I finish out, blah, 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 blah. And then you take a job someplace else. Guy of your talent would go to Alabama, probably as a coach, I'm not surprised. You'd be joining Nick Saban. I know how you operate, okay? All right? I know how you think. Now, said recruit is sitting there saying, oh, man, I mean, he's... I don't like my big link with the program. He's gone. Well, how do you avoid that? You have the whole staff do it. So regardless of position, you know Sean Spencer, you know Terry Smith, you know Brent Pry, you know Tim Banks, you know Matt Linegrover, you know Josh Gattis, you know Ricky Ronnie. You know, now you get to now know Tyler Bowen. You get to know Phil Galliano. And that's why they make that part work. There is one guy in James Franklin that is the focal point of all of this. You start with your head coach. But then he has the entire staff. I don't care whether it's Andy Frank or Kenny Sanders or whatever. You know, Sammy, whatever. All get involved so that when something does happen, which is expected with really good programs, the player looks around and says, well, yeah, they still got